Welcome to a Burning Fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, Prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. As for these 4 children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding, the king inquired of them. He found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. Now the time of our lesson was when Judah was in Babylonian captivity, having been taken there in 3 different stages, one under Jehoiakim, then another under Jehoiachin, and the third and last king of southern Judah, Zedekiah. And Daniel was among those that were taken in the first deportation. He was also among the young men selected for special training by the Babylonians because he possessed qualities which made him good material. He was without blemish, strong physically, well-favored, one who got along well with others. He was skillful and wise, and a better-than-average knowledge and understanding. Why, he was the kind of lad that could stand before the king with composure. He was a young man of great promise and potential alongside others who were chosen. Now involved in his training was the change of his name. Daniel's name was changed to Belteshazzar, not to be confused with King Belshazzar. Although the training included a certain diet and food and drink that was set before them, as well as the change of their name, and they were taught the Chaldean language and the Chaldean ways. It was with regard to their diet, however, where we see the manly characteristics of this young lad come to the surface. Being a Jew, there were certain foods forbidden him lest he defile himself. Therefore, he was forced to make a choice. If he ate, he would violate God's law. If he did not eat, he ran the risk of disfavor of his captors with unknown and uncertain consequences. Let us understand the nature of his alternatives, friend. It was not that Daniel was left to decide what was right and wrong. God had already decided that. And it was not a question of knowledge with him because he knew the law of God. It was simply a question of whether he would obey God or not. Now, this is much the same decision confronting us today. God has decided and revealed in His Word what is right and what is wrong. Many times people know what God has said. They simply must decide whom they shall serve. In the comfort and security of our situations, we may at first think that Daniel's decision should have been a very easy one. But consider the pressures upon this young man. He could reason that he was in a strange land, and he was not there by choice. What else could he do except comply with the wishes of his captors? The king's servants had commanded it. Dare he defy them? And he already had been told he would risk himself and risk others if he disobeyed their directions. And furthermore, who would ever know? It seemed that most everyone else was going along with the command. Why should he be different? He could have considered doing this just once in order to relieve the difficult situations with intentions to obey God later on. Might have justified his just going along with whatever was given him to do. Well, all of these excuses and these rationalizations, yes, they could have been suggested by him. These are the same kind of pressures facing people today who consider serving God. Sometimes we get the idea that only the young are beset with pressure from their peers and their situations. Friend, these pressures follow us all the days of our lives. If we do not learn to handle them while we are young, we'll likely be subverted by them somewhere down the line. Daniel's greatness is seen in verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Notice, Daniel purposed in his heart he would obey God rather than to disobey God. In other words, he made up his mind to do what was right, even in difficult conditions. Now here's an example of godly manhood and real strength. Regardless of what losses that may beset him or others, whatever be the consequences to himself or others, with him, it was, "Thy will be done," and he determined not to waver from it. God was first and last and always in Daniel's decisions. How is it with you and with me, dear listener? Do we have the same disposition? Yes, Daniel counted the cost, not to see if he would obey God or not, but only to learn what God expected, and whatever was the cost, he would obey God. We're made to wonder where Daniel learned to take such a righteous stand. Well, we're not specifically told, but we know that he could not have learned it except from the will of God. Somebody had taught him, and that somebody had done a splendid job of it. We know he could not have learned it by being indulged in sin and folly in his earlier days. He would not have so learned by being allowed to do his own thing and go his own way. Nor could he have learned to take this stand by following the counsels of this world that teach to conform and to get ahead at whatever cost to the truth you might have to make. The Jews were taught to teach their young, and somebody did what they were supposed to have done with regard to Daniel. And oh, how we sin against our children to fail to give them the same kind of stalwart and immovable strength of righteousness. And let us not take lightly the statements of verse 9 and 17 and 19 and 20, where God promises blessings and provisions to those who obey Him. Where do people get the idea that God is not aware of His own, or that He fails to provide for them? When people do right, God knows it. When they decide the righteous path, God supports them in it. We see in the life of Daniel, we see in the promises of Jesus Christ, we have even seen it in our own lives, how God is mindful of His people. When Daniel made the decision first to follow the Lord, then God acted on his behalf. Provisions were made to enable Daniel to remain faithful. But notice, he had to make his decision first, then came the blessings of God. There are certain lessons that we can and must draw from this account. Friend, it's always right to do right. It's always wrong to do wrong. It is never right to do wrong. It's never wrong to do right. Ultimately, we never lose anything of lasting value when we do right and stand up on the side of God's truth. Regardless of what it costs us, we're always more blessed than the losses we suffer. We learn that God will provide for those who stand up for His way. It is never to our advantage to yield to temptations and pressures to do wrong. Regardless of the consequences, right doing is better than wrong doing. In our day of liberalism and modernism and all the various isms within and without the family of God, the theories of evolution and humanism, immorality, mass confusion, all of the attacks on the Bible, digression at times in the church, the raging of the heathen on every hand, dear listening friend, we must learn to stand. We must develop the same spiritual backbone that Daniel possessed and the backbone that he displayed. God has not promised ease and comfort in service to him. What he has promised is expressed with the following poem. God has not promised skies always blue, flower-strewn pathways all our lives through. God has not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, and peace without pain. God has not promised we shall not know toil and temptation, trouble and woe. He hath not told us we shall not bear many a burden and many a care. But God has promised strength for the day, rest for the laborer, light for the way, grace under trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy, and undying love. How wonderful for each one of us, dear listener, if we would develop the same noble virtue exhibited by Daniel on this occasion. Would we not be better servants of the God of heaven? This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.